That's going to cost me an extra $25. Thank you, Michael. We all know the old saying, you are what you eat. Well, I was reading this great article the other day. It says, study heralds the molecule in soybeans as a baldness beater. Well, as I get older, that is something that I am quite irritated about, that as my brains go, so goes my hair. And as I'm thinning, I am not very happy. Stay with me, Mr. Sola. There's hope for you, too. Says here, gentlemen, forget the steak and french fries and lay off the cheeseburgers, pizzas, eggs, bacon, and all that other hallmarks of He-Man cuisine. It's soybeans what you want, guys. We're talking about tofu, endomine, soy butter, miso soup, soy milk, tempest, and all that mysterious texturized vegetable protein lurking in the freezer case at the supermarket. That's what real men eat, at least according to the research from the Colorado State University. Soy products, they say, may stave off baldness, prostate cancer, and even improve troubled skin. Oh, good. I could have used that when I was 16. You are what you eat. You know, there's everywhere you turn, there's articles. Reader's Digest recently had an article, Foods That Harm, Foods That Heal, talked about the beneficial powers of chilies, asparagus, grapefruit, kiwis and mushrooms, and then it went on to talk about all the bad things that you can eat and the harmful effects that can be in your body. But as I was reading those things, I was thinking about, what about our spiritual food? What about those things that transform our inner man? In Matthew 4:4, Scripture said, this was when Jesus was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, and Satan offered him all the kingdoms of the world, and Jesus rebuked him with the word of God and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, this word that we have, this word that the God of the universe has given us, is inspired by God. It is God-breathed to each and every one of us as nourishment for our souls and life to our being. There's tremendous spiritual benefits in the Word of God. A classic passage that we all know is out of Ephesians 6:11. It's the passage on spiritual warfare. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil one, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist in truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the shield of faith is a very important element of our spiritual warfare, of our spiritual armor. Remember back in 1991, there was a war that was fought, Desert Storm. Iraq had invaded Kuwait. And as a result of the Allied opposition to him and the war which was brought against him in Kuwait to liberate Kuwait, Saddam decided that he was going to try to turn the tide and entice Israel into the war. And so he started firing Scuds at Israel in an attempt to destroy massive quantities of citizens and have the Israelis retaliate. And what happened? Well, the U.S. had installed batteries of Patriot missiles. And I'll never forget those pictures, and I'm sure many of you saw them, where the Scuds were coming in, looked like meteors, and then a Patriot missile would be fired up and would wiggle its way into the atmosphere, and there'd be a tremendous explosion. Well, that is exactly what the Word of God is talking about as the shield of faith. Above all, taking that shield of faith with which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. God has given us the Word to act as a Patriot missile. When the enemy fires his Scud missiles, attempting to destroy you, attempting to cause havoc within your thoughts or in your heart, the Lord has given us the Word with which we are able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, when the enemy tells me that I'm weak, I'm able to just take the Word of God and quote Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And by the Word of God, just as the way Jesus had done it, I'm able to quench the fiery dart of the enemy. The Word of God is also a sword. Jesus fought Satan, again, as illustrated in Matthew chapter 4, in that desert experience when he finished the 40 days of praying and fasting. The enemy sought to tempt him, to lead him astray. And Jesus used the Word of God to combat Satan. On three separate occasions, he resisted the devil by saying, "It is written." When temptation walks before me in the form of a lovely young lady, I simply quote Job 31:1, and it is a job to quote Job, let me tell you. I quote Job, and I say, "I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a woman with lust." And that enables me to immediately turn the other way, to turn my eyes from that which is coming to entice me. And normally that doesn't happen. I mean, that happens out in the world, but I want to give just one word of encouragement to you young ladies who sometimes wear clothes that are a little too tight, and you come and do your thing up here while we're trying to worship out there. Please don't. That is tough on us guys. Okay? There's places to wear nothing, and it's not in church. Having two young daughters who I fought that battle with on many occasions, I just want to encourage you in that. Please help us men in our battle against temptation. There is a helmet of salvation that's referred to in Ephesians. That helmet of salvation, it's like a helmet. It's to protect our minds. Because as our minds go, so goes our life. There's a great verse in Romans 12:2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." The enemy wants us to be conformed to this world, to the things that are in the world, all the degradation, all the hatred, all the enmity, all the strife. The Lord wants to transform us. He wants to give us a new mind. And He does that, how? He does that with the Word of God. He cleanses us. He cleanses out all of the iniquity, all the things that are bad, all the things which are not a part of His kingdom, all the things which are not the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Because the mind is the battleground for the soul. And as your mind goes, so will your soul follow. Second Timothy 3:16 in the NAS version says, "All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work." There's three key elements in this Scripture. The first one is teaching. The Lord has given the Scripture, the Word of God, to teach us His ways. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. And He will bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you." Now, when I put the Word into me, the Holy Spirit has promised, He's promised to bring it to remembrance so that I'll know the Word of God to help me in my time of need, in my time of trouble. It also says the Word of God is profitable for reproof. What's a reproof? Now that's when I've messed up, when I've gone astray, when the Lord has to bring me back into proper alignment with His will. In His ways. I'm reminded of a story. You know, when an airline takes off from New York and it goes to California, it's impossible for that airline, as Bob Guild could tell you if he were still here, to fly in a perfectly straight line, even if it was a transcon flight. There's constant course corrections which take place. It'll be going along and there'll be extra strong wind shear and it'll start being pushed off course, and it'll be able to check its position and make a course correction to come back into line to its final destination. Well, that happens to us all the time. You know, we know what our final destination is. We know that we are here to walk with God into glory. And He has called us to walk with Him and live with Him and honor Him in all that we say and do. But throughout our life, problems are going to come up. Challenges are going to happen that will try to lead us astray, that will try to take us down, to destroy us, to crash us into the ground. There will be other challenges that will come from the enemy, and we'll get blown off course. If we were only flying at 5,000 feet and we came up to the Rockies, we would have to make another course correction to get up higher. All of these things the Lord has promised to be with us through a word of reproof. If we're off course, He will help us by reproving us. I remember years ago, soon after I first had come to this community, I'd gone to a church event on the Navy base. And we had a pool party there, and somebody else had driven, and we'd gone to it and spent the day there and had a good time, and it was time to leave. And I jumped in my car, and I totally had forgotten that I hadn't drove. Somebody else had driven my car to the event, and so I didn't have my license. And I buzzed down that one hill, and I was going up that other hill, maybe going 35, 40 miles an hour, not even thinking that the last thing in the world you want to do is to get a ticket on the Navy base. And sure enough, man, I know some of you this has happened to, but it was like a 20-mile-an-hour zone or something. And boy, that was an expensive word of reproof. I didn't know the law, and I paid the penalty, not only for speeding, but also for not having my license on me. Man, I got a double whammy at a time in my life when I couldn't afford a single whammy, let me tell you. It was painful. That was a painful word of reproof, but I learned. I've been on that base many times over the last 25 years, and I've never once gone over the speed limit. Let me tell you, I'm always scanning. Where's the speed limit sign? Yes, 20 miles an hour. I'm not going any faster because I know they're going to get me. The Word of God, it's like a mirror. It's like those signs. It's there to provide a warning. 20 miles an hour. Don't you dare go over the limit or you will be punished. You will be caught. And that's where the Word of God is. It's like a mirror. A warning sign being held up in front of us to help us go in the right direction to keep from going astray. The word is also there for correction. In Psalm 119:11, it says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Think of that. If I hide His word in my heart, it'll help me to keep me from sinning against the Lord, from walking astray, from causing problems in my life, and in the life of those that I love. It's reminded me of a time many years ago, Molly and I made a radical change in our diet, and we became essentially vegetarians. Molly and Katie B, they're 100% vegetarian. Sometimes I get tempted, and I sin. And I fall astray, and I pounce on a piece of meat, and I consume it when nobody's watching. But for the most part, I follow the regime and do really well in it. But and when we first did it, I'd read numerous books. The Wallaces got started on this diet after Mary had successfully fought against her cancer. And there was a lot of literature out, and we read the literature, and it was very convincing. It was amazing, the tremendous health benefits on a vegetarian diet. And so I read all this literature, all this research, because I'm given to researching things, and I was convinced of it. I said, this is absolutely right. But over the last, I don't know how many years we've been doing this, 8 or 10 years, I've kind of gone astray. I've kind of been wandering, and I'll eat a little bit of this that I'm not really supposed to, and I'll be eating some of that. And just the other day, some articles came my way, and I was like, golly, Tim, you got to get back to the standard here. And so I went back to reread some of the materials in the books, and I was astounded at what I forgot because I hadn't read it in over 8 or 10 years. The books were sitting on my shelf, gathering dust. And that's the way the Word of God is. If you read this book once, and say, I got it. I know what it says in there. And you're not going back to it. You're going to forget what God is trying to speak to you. You're going to forget those words of life that will change you. One of the Christian disciplines I had undertaken many years ago was I read the Word, the Bible, through every year. I'm in one of those programs. There's many of them out there. And I just simply set aside time every morning to read three or four chapters in several different books, and by the end of the year, I have read the Bible through. And it has absolutely helped me in not only bringing the Word into me, but speaking to me day by day, week by week, month by month. That is one of the ways the Lord has changed my life and transformed me. Finally, training. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." And then here comes the great benefit of it. "For then you will be prosperous, and then you will have good success." How many of you want to be prosperous? Raise your hand. Oh, most everybody wants to be prosperous. Well, those of you who didn't raise your hand don't want to be prosperous, have I got news for you. Being prosperous is a whole lot more fun than not being prosperous. Let me tell you. How many of you like to have success in all you do, whether it's at school or in your relationships or in your job? I mean, I want to be successful. I want to be prosperous. I don't want to be rich. Let me tell you, I'm not talking about being rich. I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel at all. It says in Proverbs chapter 30, and boy, I've followed this one for many years, "Lord, may I be neither poor nor rich. Keep me from poverty nor riches, lest I be poor and steal and profane your name, or lest I be rich and deny my God." I don't want to be rich, but I do want to be prosperous. I want to be successful in whatever I put my hands to. And in Joshua 1:8 it says, "If I take this word of the law, his commandments, and I put it inside of me, and it doesn't depart from my heart, it doesn't depart from my mouth, and I meditate on it, and I am careful to do according to all that is written in it," he promises, "then you will be prosperous, and then you'll have good success." And I absolutely testify to it. My life is prosperous. I am successful. And not because of my own strength, but because of what God has done in me. Believe me, when I was a little Catholic boy and in trouble all the time, the last place in the world my mother ever thought she would see me is up here one day. So they wouldn't even take me as an altar boy. Let me tell you, all my buddies, they were altar boys. Tim Frank, no way. I was constantly in trouble. I was constantly straying, doing my own thing. I had a pretty strong will, and my parents were amazed that I lived to 18 years old. They thought for sure I was destined for destruction through my foolishness and waywardness. And the Lord captivated me and has absolutely transformed me. Spiritual intimacy is another tremendous value of the Word of God. It says in John 14:21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Imagine that. Manifest myself to him. In 14:23, Jesus goes on to say, "And Jesus answered them and said, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.'" He's going to make his home with us. As we take his word, as we love his commandments, and as we apply them in our life, he's promised he's going to come and make his home with us. So the first thing, as you can see, is that by taking his commandments and making them a part of us, that's how we can walk in his love. That's how we can prove that we love him, and that's how we can experience the love of the Father at work in our lives. You will love him, and he will love you. It doesn't say that he who has strong affection for me, I will love him. And it doesn't say he who worships me, I will love him. It doesn't even say he who fasts and prays, I will love him. What does it say? He who has my commandment and keeps them, him I will love. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? It's tied into the Word of God. It's tied into the things that he's speaking to us. Revelation. The Message Bible has a real neat way of stating John 14:21. "The person who knows my commandment and keeps them, that's who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself plain to him. I will manifest myself. I will reveal. I will make myself known to you who keep my commandments." Is God a mystery to you? Do you wonder about him and the things he does in your life? Or maybe the things he doesn't do? You know, he promises to reveal his purposes to you in revelation as you are committed to his commandments and as you are committed to following them. And finally, what does he say? He says, we will live together. The Message Bible also says, in verse 23, because a loveless world, said Jesus, is a sightless world, if anyone loves me, he will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will move right into the neighborhood. Now, how many of you would like to have God the Father and Jesus living next door to you as neighbors? Huh? Wouldn't that be great? I don't know where you live. I live in a good neighborhood. Don't know my neighbors particularly well, but it's a nice neighborhood. But man, wouldn't it be great to have Jesus next door? Anytime I had a problem, anytime I had a need, he could be there. It'd be just like Wilson in Home Improvement. I'd just go over to the fence and say, hey, Jesus. And he'd kind of hide his face, you know. That's the way God does. He just sort of hides his face and looks at you. And he could just speak to me. You know, if I got a problem, I'd say, hey, Wilson. And he'd come over to the fence. And we could dialogue. And he could straighten me out. I mean, how many times have you ever seen Wilson straighten out Tim the Tool Man? Well, I'm like that. I'm a lot like Tim the Tool Man. Let me tell you. You watch that and you say, I wonder how Tim Frink is in his private life. Just watch that program. And I am very similar to that. Oh, did you see that? That's what I do at home. I pick up the trash on the floor and I put it in the plants because plants are a real good place to put the debris on the floor. So, any dead insects, they feed the plants. Come on. Okay, back to the Word of God. That was just a humorous aside. Oh, thank you. Pink, that's my best color. Okay, what are, there's a number of essential disciplines for a successful Christian life. Prayer, fasting, giving, whether it's our time or the resources that God has given us, we give them back to Him, we give them to others in their time of need. Serving, worship, Bible reading, Bible memorizing. You know, after 25 years walking with the Lord, I have managed to be pretty successful in incorporating those various disciplines into my life, with the exception of Bible memorizing. For many, many years, I tried it when I was first saved. I even successfully memorized the entire book of James, put it in, and lost it pretty quickly. A friend and I did it together, and it was there for a short while, but then it was gone. And so I know a lot about the Bible, and I know where a lot of things are roughly. Oh, yeah, that's somewhere in Ephesians. I think that's somewhere in Matthew. Oh, yeah, that's a great scripture, and it goes something like this. But I didn't have the Word of God. It'd be like a Patriot missile without a proper guidance system on it. Somebody had a need, I could send up that sucker and just try to put it on nuclear warhead and try to obliterate the entire atmosphere because I didn't know exactly where that verse was. So the Lord's been tugging on my heart for many, many years. Tim, you need to memorize my words. You need to have it inside of you to do those various things that I just was talking about for the great benefits of the word. Tough situations would arise, and I couldn't find the word to share with it. A couple years ago, I was on an airline and flying home from L.A. from a conference, and I was with a young lady, and she had this college curriculum in front of her, and it was it was on, it was like a master's program on spiritual religions toward fulfillment. Something like that. Spiritual, how to find your fulfillment in spiritual truth. And since she was coming from L.A., I had a pretty good clue that it wasn't the spiritual truths that we all know and experience. And so I just struck up a conversation with her. And sure enough, this was some far-out curriculum that took in Buddhism and Hinduism, and it was searching for truth using all the truth that's in the world. Now, there's a whole lot of lies and deceit that are in the world. And this girl was, she was searching. She wanted to know truth. Turns out she'd come from a Catholic background, and she was in the Hollywood industry, And she was looking for truth, and she thought she could find it in this master's program. So it was a wonderful opportunity to share with her about the Lord. And I managed to share with her John 3:16. But as I was, as I was sharing with her, I didn't have my Bible with me. I didn't have any tracts on me. I know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I could cite that, and I could go through the little diagram, which was excellent. But I didn't have the scriptures, like Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Or like Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. I didn't have those inside of me. So all I could say was Bible generalities. Well, Bible generalities are good, but they're not nearly as effective as the specific word with the address and the specific truth. Last fall, a gentleman came to the Baptist Church in Leonardtown to do a men's purity seminar. His name was Bob Rehm. Tremendous man of God, been walking with the Lord many years. He was a navigator, and this man knew the Word of God. It was astounding. He had over 70 scriptures that were part of his talk, and he knew every single one of them by heart, by memory. He was just using the Word of God left and right to talk to us men about how to live a righteous, God-fearing, pure life before the living God. And it was astounding to me. And by the time he was done challenging us to use the Word of God in our warfare against the enemy, I was convicted in my heart, Timothy, this is the day when you need to start doing this. Not that I was in terrible trouble in my thought life, or that I was wandering astray and getting ready to be destroyed in my life, in that area, but I just knew that I needed the Word of God, and I needed to have it living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce to the dividing in the soul and the heart and the thoughts and the intentions in the heart of a man. I needed that. And so I was convicted to do something about it. And so, over the last 6 months, I am here to testify that God has slowly transformed my life, and I have been successful in memorizing over 50 different scriptures, many of which I use all the time, many of which are just absolute treasures inside of my heart. There's some tremendous personal benefits that have happened to me over this last 6 months as I've been taking the scripture and memorizing it and building it inside of me. Edification. I find that I'm spending about 15 minutes a day reviewing scripture, reviewing various words that the Lord has given me for my benefit and for the benefit of others. Crisis. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Well, we had a crisis last week. Molly's purse was stolen. And all the credit cards and the cell phone and her driver's license and her checks were stolen. We didn't know it at first because it was lost at school, we thought. But then it became apparent, yes, somebody had gone into the teacher's lounge and stolen her purse. Well, that was a bit of a crisis when I discovered somebody was in Ocean City running amok with the credit cards. And I recited a few scriptures that day, let me tell you. And I was saying, "Lord, this really irritates me. I can't believe this happened to us." What really irritated me was, I'm pretty careful. Whenever I read stuff, I take copies of it. I sent many of these things to you all. What should happen if you should lose your wallet? What should happen if you should try to protect yourself or identity theft? And I had those articles. And on Monday, when the purse was disappeared, I didn't read those articles. We just talked about, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this if it really was stolen? And on Thursday, when we discovered it truly had been stolen, I pulled out my file and discovered all the stupid things I forgot I didn't do on Monday that would have really protected us. And so if I send you something that's of benefit and value, don't file it away like I did. Read it. Put it in your life. Remember it. It'll help you when you lose your purse or your wallet. Counseling. I do a fair amount of counseling. People come to me in various crises and needs, and the Word of God is absolutely critical to be able to share with somebody in a time of need to be able to help them. I mean, that, that is one of the perfect places for the Word of God to be used when someone needs either a word of teaching or a word of reproof or a word of correction or training so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Prayer. Praying the Word gives tremendous blessings. I love to pray the Word of God now. I used to pray general blessings, and I had a few that the Lord had given me. But I love to pray like Ephesians 1:17. May Jesus give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. May the eyes of your heart be enlightened so that you will know the hope of His calling. What are the riches of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the greatness of His power toward you who believe? I mean, that is one of my favorite prayers. I pray that over my children. I pray that over my friends. I pray that over my parents. I pray that whenever God just stirs it up in my heart, because how many of you want a spirit of wisdom and revelation in your lives? We all do. We need wisdom. We need revelation. We need to know how to deal with the things that come into our lives. And that's a great prayer to pray as a blessing over your children and your family members and your friends. Bible study. When I hear teaching or I'm reading the Bible, it's amazing. Scriptures are just popping into my mind. You know, before I'd have to like look at the little A on the top of the little phrase and say, now what is that A? God, where's my glasses? I can't hardly see this little A anymore. And have to go and search and say, oh, okay, now I wonder what it says there. And I like, flip through the Bible. And you know, that's okay when you're doing Bible study and you're taking the time, but it's fabulous when you read 1 Corinthians 10:13, and it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. But with the temptation, He will provide a way of escape so that you may stand under it. And when you read that, you go, oh, yeah, that's just like Hebrews 2:18, which says, for in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He's able to aid those who are tempted. I write that right in the little margin of my Bible. Hebrews 2:18, for in that He Himself. And it's just a way to speak to me, to corroborate the Word, to provide further information, further knowledge as I'm trying to grow in the Word. So that's been a real benefit. The Word of God is invaluable. It's life-changing. It's critically important for our well-being. Now, obviously, from everything I've shared, I hope I've convinced all of you of that importance. And I would say, since you were already here in church, you pretty much knew a lot of that anyway. So, this being Mother's Day, we've decided we've got a special gift for all of you ladies. Pastor Lanny and I discussed this. And I've got another article. It says, chocolate may have health benefits. Yeah! Chocolate! This was brought to my attention by Millie, so you ladies can thank Millie. She wanted me to be sure I knew how to bless her health, so she showed me this article. It's a variety of things talking about new scientific studies that support what many of you have been hoping for all along, that chocolate has a great number of heart health benefits. Isn't that interesting? Chocolate benefits your heart. Oh, I think that's so cute. In a new study by the Harvard Medical School, they determined that those who consumed the flavanol-rich cocoa demonstrated improvements in their endothelial function. The endothelium refers to the cells that line the inside of the heart vessels, which produce substances critical to the proper blood flow. Healthy endothelial function is an important factor in cardiovascular health. And they go on to say the study specifies that only flavanol-rich cocoa improved these measures of endothelial function. So just any old cheap chocolate ain't going to do, guys. You got to get the right sort of chocolate if you're not only going to bless their taste buds, but you're also going to bless their heart. Now, you will be able to find that cocoa in products like Dove chocolates. I like the Dove chocolates. Those are very good. And they're easy to find. So you can find those and you can be blessed. However, you may have thought we were giving you chocolate. But, you know, it says in Psalms 119, how sweet are your words to my taste? They are sweeter than honey. Honey is extremely sweet. It's sweeter than chocolate. So we decided to give all of the ladies in the church some scripture memory packets. Gentlemen, ushers, if you can come up now, we have purchased for your benefit these scripture memory packs. There's 12 packs in each, 12 scriptures in each pack. And we encourage you, ladies, to take those and to use them to your benefit. How do you memorize? It's actually pretty simple. It's a very simple process. And these little packets are extremely helpful. Every lady. We got enough for every lady in the room. I don't think there's more than 100 here. So every lady in the room. Young ladies too. If you young ladies want one, you're more than welcome to get one. Okay, there's 12 scriptures in there. That book said, the little booklet you said, yeah, there should be another pile back there. Just do one a month. I want to challenge you, ladies, to do one a week. Okay? It's really not that hard, and these are pretty simple scriptures. There's only a few with more than 5 chapters on the card. But, no, I'm just kidding. They're really simple, and if you set up a simple plan, like I'm going to share with you, you'll find that you can memorize one scripture a week, and that if you properly follow up, that you will be able to memorize these 12 scriptures over the next 12 weeks and have it be life-changing for you as it's been life-changing for me. Okay, ladies or men, you can do this simply by taking one of your favorite scriptures that you wish you knew exactly where it was and you wish you had the exact wording, because that's critical. Remembering it word for word exact is really important, because once you start fudging on those words, it just kind of turns into oatmeal. It just kind of it just disappears. But when it's exact and you memorize it exactly and you memorize exactly where the reference is rather than, oh, it's somewhere in Matthew. You know, there's a lot of words in Matthew. If you don't know exactly where that address is, you could be spending a lot of time trying to find it. So memorize it exactly and exactly where it's located. Write it down on a small card. And make sure when you write it down on the small cards, you put the address and you put a little hook. I believe on those cards there's a little thing at the top, like a topic, isn't there? Each one has a topic. Like the cards that I used, like one of the scriptures that we use in our Crown Financial class that we're memorizing is honesty. Leviticus 19:11, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And up in the upper left-hand corner it says honesty. So when Molly quizzes me, she says honesty. And I say, oh, Leviticus 19:11, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And that also helps me if I'm in a situation where someone's coming up to me and saying, you know, Tim, I'm really thinking about stealing some stuff from work. What do you think? I just whip out my little word of God and I say, yeah, the word of God says, in Leviticus 19:11, you shall not steal. Nah, no one's ever done that quite that bold to me, but I've been tempted to say that to my kids occasionally when they were smaller. So put a little hook on it and write it down. Make it small. It's great if you can have a little plastic cards, because you've got to keep these with you. If you just leave this at home with your Bible and then you can't review them regularly. Because the way to get it inside of you is repetition, repetition, repetition. Putting it in your mind repeatedly. One of the ways that you can easily get repetition is the very first time you get a scripture, write it down. Take those cards, the very first card that's in your packet, ladies, write it down 3 or 4 times the very first time. Studies have proven that when you write something down, you're using more of your... Is that God? Oh, it's Carrie. It's not the Lord. Well, I thought he was calling me. Thank you for turning that off, Carrie. I would encourage you, the very first time you try to memorize a scripture, to review it up to 12 times that first day. Maybe 3 times first thing in the morning, 3 times midway through the day, at lunch, afternoon, dinner, before you retire. You just repeat it 3 times. By the second or third day, you've got it. It's amazing how when you say something repeatedly, it locks into your memory. The next week, you simply get a new verse, and you review that new verse those 12 times till you get it, and then you review last week's verse. That'll take what? 5 minutes? 3 minutes? Well, even at the end of 12 weeks, it won't take you any more than 6 or 7 minutes to review 12 scriptures. And I find, I review these in all sorts of different places. I used to read the Reader's Digest front to back every month just at traffic lights in this county. I have a Reader's Digest right there beside my seat. When a traffic light comes up, I whip that sucker out because I hate wasting time. I hate traffic lights with a passion. And I just pull that out and just start reading. If I go to the bank and I got 5 minutes while I'm waiting for all the money to be counted, I take my Reader's Digest with me and I just read it. Well, that's what I used to do. Now my Reader's Digest aren't being read anymore because I'm pulling out this little sucker. I got it right there beside me. And when I get to a light, I just start reviewing it. I just look at the clue and I just review. And that's a great way for me while I'm in town. And I run around errands and such 20 minutes a day maybe. I'm able to review all my scriptures. And I've got, oh, I know there's probably over 20 that I'm reviewing at the time. You can do them very easily before meals, at lunch. Again, a little plastic thing, you can put it in your pocket and it's with you every time you need it. It's real valuable to meditate on it, to chew on it. I mean, that's what it said in Joshua 1:8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." That means to think about it. Think about what it's saying. How does this apply to me? What are these various words? You know, parse it. Break it down. See what it's saying to you. See how it can be applied to your life. Look at it in the actual passage of Scripture and see what the context is. And that'll help you lock it in, especially as you start getting, like, I've been using the Navigator system. And boy, they just love Romans and Hebrews, and I've got like, I don't know, there must be a dozen different passages in Romans, and so they're getting easy to get mixed up. And it's very helpful in locking those in and knowing where they are. So you review those cards once a day for about 12 times till you get that scripture, once a week for about 12 weeks. If you do it once a week for 12 weeks, by the end of those 12 weeks, you will have that scripture. It'll be locked in your heart. It'll be locked in your mind. Bob Rehm says that's what their research has discovered, and I absolutely testified personally over the last 6 months by reviewing these scriptures over 12 weeks. It works. And when I get to the end of the 12 weeks, I just take that card out of my pack. When I get a new one, I put it in. I put it on my my reading table by my easy chair. And then I review all of those scriptures once a week for 12 months. And if you do those once a week for 12 months, then they're just locked in. And it doesn't take long. I set aside some time on Sundays. I figure that's an appropriate time to review the Word of God. And so I just review those cards that I've retired out of my regular rotation. I just put them on the on the reading table, and I just glance at them. And it took me 15 minutes this morning to review probably 30 scriptures that are on my once a week rotation. That's nothing in the life that we live. You know, if you watch TV, how much TV are you putting inside of your heart? And I guarantee you, the great majority of it, unless it's sports, is just worthless. It's just worthless. But sports are an exception. But the rest of it, it just has no eternal value. Well, that's sort of what my wife tells me. Why are you watching that? That's of no eternal consequence. I say, of course it is. We got to know who wins. That's, you know, that's just one of the, God is a competitive God. He wouldn't have created sports if he wasn't. So where was I? That was an important aside. That's right. Read it, brother. So if you do one scripture a week, which is pretty simple, I mean, you can do 52 scriptures over the course of this next year. And you will have 52 missiles on your launcher. So that when the enemy launches a scud against you, you can just fire that sucker off and blow him right out of the sky. Because you have the Word of God implanted in your soul. And it's able to save you. It's able to keep you from destruction. The Navigators have a great system. I was referring to it. You can go online, $10. You can get this simple system from the Navigators. They give you a little booklet. You have four different Bible versions that you can choose from. They'll send you all four. It just comes. And you just cut the cards out and card them off with you. There's 6 weeks There's two scriptures, there's six sets of 12, two scriptures, and there's six sets of 12, 72 scriptures. And so every week you do two scriptures. So at the end of the 72 cards, you will put a tremendous amount of scripture into your heart. We're almost done. We've got one more set, the E set left. And they've got the little hooks, and they've got a great little book that explains how to do it, gives you context, asks you questions. It's a great system. $10, navpress.com, navpress.com. You can order that system, and it's excellent. And the system that I was using is the basic system. They have two different ones. One of them is topics, and the other is their basic system, which is more key scriptures to build in your life just to help you have a successful Christian life. I like the basic one because they're a lot more concise. Poor Jim Curry, he's going through the topical one, and some of his are like three chapters long. And I say, man, Jim, you're really getting punished having to do some of those ones. I've got several brothers. We're doing this together. And we get together for breakfast once a week, and we talk about what's going on in our life, and we encourage each other in the Lord, and we review the scriptures. How are you doing? How's it going with you? Here, share your scripture. And we just pass them on. That holds us accountable. Because every week I know I'm going to sit with my brothers, and I've got to share the verse that I'm memorizing for that week. I'm also greatly blessed in that Molly has joined me in this effort. Soon after I started, she was so pleased with the change in my life. You're just so much better than you used to be. So she said, maybe this will help me. And I said, oh, golly, Molly, that'll help you be a lot better than you are. And so anyway, we do it together. I've got a copy of the cards for her, and we, over the course of the week, two or three times. We're not able to do it every day because life is busy, life is full. But she reviews them on her own, and then several times a week we'll sit down and we'll quiz each other, and we'll just go back and forth with the scriptures. And that's great! I mean, I cannot think of many other things that are more profitable than sharing the scripture back and forth with your wife. Or it can be with your friend, or with a brother or sister in the Lord. I don't have a great memory. You may say, oh, Tim Frink can do that. He's just, he just has a fabulous memory. I do not have a great memory, do I? Molly, that's right, Molly. I carry an electronic memory. I've got a paper memory. I have stick-it notes on my computer at home. I write things down any chance I get. I don't trust my memory. Because it's not that good. I do not have a sharp memory. Many times we'll have to remember something. And I'll say, Katie B, remember to tell me to do this when we get home. And Katie B, she's young. She's sharp. She's got a great memory. I play these games with these little kids. It's called memory, where they have these little cards and you have these animals and you flip them over. There's this little seven-year-old, our little Ellie, comes over to visit. I don't play that game with that kid. I get slaughtered. I mean, she'll have as many, and I'll have like four. I can't remember what those things are. They all look the same to me. So I do not have a good memory. And yet, the Lord has helped me by these simple techniques and this conviction in my heart that this is important, this is valuable, this is life-changing. He has helped me to memorize over 50 scriptures in the last 6 months. If I can do it, you can do it. I'm positive every single one of you can do it. In conclusion, there's tremendous benefits from doing this. It's beneficial in our spiritual life as a shield of faith, as a use in the sword of the word, as the helmet of salvation. It's extremely beneficial for teaching us the word of God in our times of counseling, when we're trying to help other people who are struggling and in times of need. It's very valuable as a word of reproof when we're getting out of control and we need to be brought up short because we're in error. It's very good for training us in righteousness in the way that we should go. If you want to love the Lord, If you want to be loved by the Lord, He's promised He will love you if you take His commandments. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. I will come to the fence like Wilson and I will talk to you. Okay? That's what he said. That's what the Word of God says. It's real simple. Just do it. It just takes an act of your faith. With God's help, I can do this. I can make this work in my life. Just had to be consistent and have repetition, repeating it time and time again. You have your memory packs, ladies? Guys, sorry. You'll have to wait your turn. This is Mother's Day, and we decided just to bless the ladies. But we're hoping that as your ladies just engraft the Word of God in their soul, that you will be so convicted that you'll go out and work up your own system. We didn't have a little packet for Molly, so we took one of those little things you put in your wallet and has all the little plastic folders. I mean, you can pick them up at Walmart for a dollar and just slip the cards in those, and you can just slip through them. You know, seeing which ones that you're working on, reviewing them. It's real simple. Or, $10. The Navigator's got a great system for you guys. So, I'm going to read, in conclusion, Psalm 119:9. I don't know if he's been putting them up. Good man. Oh, in the message. Well, you can. I'm doing the New King James. So I wanted to change that version to coincide. 119:9-16. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Before we take time to pray, ladies, where is Louise? Did you have any special word from the Lord for a time of prayer? Nope. Okay. Well, salvation, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If there's any among us where you're not a believer and you have felt convicted by the Word of God, I encourage you to come on up and you can talk to me after the service. And I'll be glad to share the word with you. If there's any among us who is sick, it says in James 5:14, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and they will anoint him with oil. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. So if any of you are sick and you want prayer, you can come up. We have some people who come up and pray with you. And finally, if you need prayer, if you want to commit yourself to what the Lord's maybe been speaking to your heart about memorizing His Word and making it alive within you, I encourage you to come on up. The altar's open. If you don't have any time that you want to spend before the Lord up front, we want to bless you and send you forth with a blessing. This is Mother's Day, and it's a glorious day that the Lord has made, and you can take your conversations and your time together out in the lobby, in the parking lot, Perkins, wherever you're going. So let me bless you and send you forth in His peace. Almighty God, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for the Word of God, which is able to change our lives. Lord, we are so appreciative of all you have done and all that you're doing in us and how your Word is living and active, able to go to the very center of our being and set us free. Lord, I pray that you would speak your words of truth to each and every one of these people today. That those who are making a commitment to memorize your word, to engraft it in their hearts, to meditate on it daily, that you would be with them, that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them, that you would go with them. For the Lord has said in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's His promise for each and every one of you. The Lord bless you indeed. May the Lord give you all a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. May the eyes of your heart be enlightened. You know the riches of His inheritance in the saints, the hope of His calling, and the exceeding greatness of His power toward you who believe. Amen.